This is RSBNB Update, episode 331, recorded Friday, October 21st, 2011, The Cluster Bleeper. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update this week. This week, Trekkie was going to be here, but he had to pull out due to some microphone issues and the rather disappointing quality that, well, the phone network provides us. So, stepping in for him at a moment's notice is Paulina, Mr. Paul, the one who got married on RuneScape.
Hi.
And the original guest who was initially going to be here with Trekkie is Asa Brimke, Exile, whatever, from Exile. The RSBNB Informer.
Yay. Exile,
whatever.
I should actually change my name to that. Exile, whatever. That'd be an interesting RuneScape name. It's like, oh, you're Exile, whatever.
All right, so we got a bit of news to discuss this week. Lots of RS news, actually, so lots of good news, too, mind you. So let's start with DEF CON 2, Halloween 2011. So, as usual, Jagex puts out their Halloween event. This one was out, I think, a week before they normally do it, because, well, they got big plans for next week, but we'll get there in just a moment. So, DEF CON 2. Basically, as with all previous Halloween events, you are required to help set up for the Halloween event for everybody else. And this year, the event is DEF CON 2. As you remember, last year was the concert in Drainer Manor with Black Sabbath. So this year, DEF CON
An
2.
Adamantite Damsel, that's it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what it was.
It's like, if you don't get that joke, okay. You really don't like rock, then. Or probably
Black
don't.
What was the other one?
Adamantite Damsel?
No.
Iron Maiden? I don't get that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say Black Sabbath and what? Yes.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Anyways, so this year they're using the Clan Citadel, specifically Death's Clan Citadel. So that's the Grim Reaper from last year and the year before. He gets quite a bit of play around this time of year, so not surprising. But DEF CON 2 is not to be confused with DEF CON 2 Defense Condition 2, which I think the U.S. military only reached once during the Cuban Missile Crisis. I'm sure somebody out there will hopefully correct me if I'm wrong, and if nobody corrects me, it means that I'm right or that nobody cares.
DEF CON 2.
Wikipedia
knows. DEF CON 2.
Next up to nuclear war. Ooh, that's not good. Yeah. Exercise term, fast pace. War readiness.
Yep.
Red.
Yep. So.
Next up is currents 5. Oh, that's good.
DEF CON 1 after DEF CON 2.
Yeah. Reverse, it's like a gauge. The lower you go, the worse it gets.
Yep.
We're on 5 right now. That's good.
Yeah, you're right. DEF CON 2, the highest level confirmed DEF CON was level 2 during the Cuban Missile Crisis on October 22nd, 1962.
I thought the default is 3.
Nope.
No, it's currently at 5. And the default is 5.
Well, that's good then.
Yeah.
That's a little side note there, but if you're interested, just wiki it. I mean, it's an interesting thing to know, and there's lots of movies about it. So, anyways. So what you have to do at the Citadel is, of course, you know, it's you're just doing work for everybody else. Like, you're doing all these holiday events. I didn't find much this year that was interesting about it aside from the Citadel mechanic. I mean, first you have to put together these statues in the right order by where the portal comes in.
Yep. Are those unique to each person, or is it all?
No, they're not.
Okay, so everybody gets the green dragon for death and the crimson demon for for more.
Yeah, it's the same for all players.
Okay.
It's the same for all players throughout the event. Even the path you can take up on the top to retrieve all the fireworks and the pattern to unlock the Halloween pumpkin on the dance floor, which is one of the patterns that will be used at the event, which they mention is on the 29th of October at 2 p.m. BST. What else is happening on that weekend? RuneFest. So it'll be interesting to see if somebody actually goes back there at 2 p.m. BST on that day to see if that's actually something interesting happening there. Somebody will have to go and do that. Which they should, because it says to come back at that time, right? It's just too bad it's an instanced area.
Yeah.
Also, so after you do the statues, I said it's just a matter of getting the dance floor ready into a pumpkin shape and then going up to the top floor to retrieve fireworks. So they're really not that much involved with it.
How long does it take this year?
Oh, I don't know. It took me 20 minutes or less.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
And I was actually like just going through it and like taking it all in, that kind of thing. So you could probably do it in less time if you try.
Mm-hmm.
But
probably should do that.
It's just not. These events aren't as great as they used to be. Like, I know we say that every year, but it just seems like the benchmark isn't what it used to be. Like, compare it to one of the other Halloween events, like handing out candy in Lumbridge. I much preferred that to this, or even the recurrent themes of the Grim Reaper. Why do we need that? Why not change things up more? You know.
I remember the candy and Lumbridge, you had to give it to all the little scared kids.
Yeah.
And then you had to scare candy out of the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like doing that.
I love that one. Got me old fashioned, but that was one of the most hilarious ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
you got the zombie head.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so it's like, okay. But I don't know. That's just my opinion on this. For most players, I'm sure they'll find it interesting, especially the new players, since it's their first Halloween event. But as always, these don't compare with Halloween events of years past. So let's just talk a little bit about the rewards of this and move on, since it's not Halloween week yet. And everybody should really go out and do this for themselves. So the reward, Asa, you want to take us through what the reward is?
Sorry, I don't have the page up. It's the lanyard, the shirt, the DEFCON shirt, and the hourglass, I believe, right?
And the borrowed time emote.
Yes. That's actually pretty awesome. I mean, it looks good. It's, or at least, I mean, it's kind of cool because all of a sudden death appears, and it's like, it's death.
Yeah, that's, in my view, that's the best part of this update, the reward you get from the event itself, the like where it comes out of the ground, and you know, the thing is really called Living on Borrowed Time, so it's a good emote, and if you haven't seen it, you really should do the event. It shows what they can do with the current game engine in relation to emotes and equipment and that sort of thing. So
it's kind of funny how they did that last time, or then when they put in particles, they added the snow one. I think it was for last Christmas, I want to say. Potentially the year before that. And then they just
Yeah, I think those
that way.
So, you know, little changes over time produce big changes in the long run. So definitely check that out. And the shirt, you know, I don't know if people will wear that shirt and the lanyard. What do you guys think?
Nope.
I mean, it's not something that stands out, like the pumpkin mask that you can put on your head,
or the
Santa suit,
or the skeleton suit. I used that as a costume for a while, along with some shade robes, and the Grim Reaper mask was also pretty awesome from years past. I really wish I would have gotten the scythe. It was like from
me too.
Year before
scythe and Easter ears.
I joined up at that time and I didn't do it. Back in the day, I didn't know these things.
If I had the scythe, I would have the perfect death costume.
Yeah, me too. I mean, that's what I said when it came out. But anyways, so with that, I'd also like to say that, you know, it's just a shirt. And really, what good is this shirt going to be as a costume or even as a piece of equipment? It just seems like something you have no incentive to wear, even if you're just dressing up. But I don't know. Maybe if you're going to a party, you'd wear that. Or maybe a concert, you'd wear that. I don't know.
Concerts in RuneScape.
Yeah.
Hint, hint.
I mean, well, no. I mean, if you listen to the music, did you turn the music on, Asa, during this update?
No, I didn't. I was listening to other stuff as well, so.
Good man.
It's a good music track this year once again, so you might as well go back and listen to it. I forget what the exact name is, but it stands out. It's in the D range of your music tracks, so definitely go have a listen to that and turn the music on when you go do the event.
Okay.
So that is the Halloween event.
Yeah. Yeah, not remarkable, but at least not a flop like some other years.
Yep. So let's just talk about tweaks and fixes now this week. First up, the Wicked Hood. It's a member's item, courtesy of the ZMI, which they say somebody asked what it stood for, and they said Zoological Magic Institute, when we all know it's, of course, the Zamorak Magic Institute. So that's a nice little thing there of having the people in-game think it means something else than it actually does. But basically, this is a hood. It gives a magic attack and defense bonus. It has runecrafting options. It can give you free runes, free essence, and teleport to altars if you imbue it with, I think, a talisman from that altar. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah, and no, it's not just imbuing. You're technically feeding a talisman to it. So
okay,
once you use the talisman, you lose it. Rather, if you use the talisman then on the hood, that talisman is gone. You're not getting it back.
Is it a one-time thing, or do you have to do it multiple times?
Yes, it's a one-time thing, fortunately.
And then it just becomes used as a talisman to enter that rune altar.
Which is pretty sweet, I must say.
Dude.
And then teleport. Twice per day, you can teleport to an altar for which the appropriate talisman has been consumed. So twice a day really isn't that much, but you know that's going to be useful if you're in a pinch and you need to, say, make a few cosmic runes or make a few law runes, you know, and you don't want to travel all the way to Entrenar, the spirit plane in the Lost City, to make these runes. So
can you imbue it with a, what's that combined one that you can get?
The Omni Talisman?
Omni Talisman, yeah.
I don't think so.
Do you have to add an altar? Because I know there's no Omni Altar. Well, the Zamorak Altar is technically Omni Altar, I guess.
No, you don't need to be at an altar to feed it.
Okay. Huh.
So, well, I wonder, isn't the Devious Minds the one where you make the bow sword thing? Requires like level 60 smithing?
And then you make the little bomb to go on the Lumbridge Chapel, the Entrenet Chapel. Yeah, I like that quest.
Yeah, well, couldn't this provide an alternate teleport, since you'd be able to teleport, at least in theory, directly to the Law Altar, which is in Entrana?
If it hasn't been patched yet, they'll patch it pretty soon.
Yeah, because, you know, you can exit right away. So there are two choices on this. Would either be to make it so that you can't teleport if you're wearing the items into the altar, or you can't leave the altar if you're wearing those kinds of items. So it'll be interesting to see which route this took, but that's a very good point there, that you are getting onto Entrenna with stuff potentially.
Yeah.
So, and you only need level 5 magic and runecrafting for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so well, and for those that would be doing the Lost City, the Draman staff would be a heck of a lot easier to get, because then you'd be able to teleport in after buying a Law Talisman, feeding it, and then teleporting.
Yep.
Then you'd just be able to bring whatever you needed.
And it produces 100 free-to-play runes or 5 member runes of one type, so this is clearly targeted at the free-to-play crowd. But yeah. I don't know if this is free-to-play or not. Does anybody Anybody know about that? Or no, it says members, doesn't it? I read that when I
so it's just targeted for lower level players then, basically.
Yeah, but you know, the free to play runes are still useful. I mean, if you think about it, it's just nature runes, blood runes, death runes, soul runes that are members runes. So pretty much everything else can be done with the.
Well, yeah.
I thought chaos were.
Yeah, you're right. They are. Well, it's just rune crafting to make them. That's what I was getting at.
Okay. Gotcha.
So. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so I like that update. It's a nice little one that they've just thrown in. So that'll be another daily thing to do. Get rune essence. So
yeah, and it's a pretty convenient teleport because I mean there are a few things. There's not a whole lot near said altars, but I mean like for example, if you need to get to Lunar, that can be quite useful.
But I don't even know if that's mentioned in this because. Got to remember that the astral altar is different than the other ones, right? It's not one of the old ancient ones. You don't even need a talisman for it. So I'm not sure if you could teleport to that.
Let me look that up.
I didn't go pick my hood up, so I don't know. Paul, did you go pick your hood up?
I haven't logged in a while, so no. I'll do that. Nice I'll do the I think I might do the Halloween thing later though. So.
Yeah, it's definitely something everybody should do. So,
at a good.
Anyways,
I heard that.
Yeah, that was me. Anyways, so this next thing, perhaps one of the more interesting pieces of little tweaks and fixes while Ace is looking that up, is that they've made some changes to the Asgardian Ice Dungeon where the Frost Dragons live. So they say that this will help prevent against bots. But, you know, by the time a few days after this post was made, bots were already coming back to this one. So we just have to hope that, you know, this was just the tip of the iceberg, as they say, because they did make another news post today about something coming next week. And I know, Paul, you can't hold your assignment in, but we're going to get there just after Asa confirms that.
Okay, so if you use the Elemental Talisman, you can get the free runes twice a day. And if you use an Omni Talisman, instead of getting 100 unnoted rune essence, you get 100 pure, unnoted nice. Pure essence. So
wait, noted,
that's
right?
Pretty good.
Unnoted.
Yeah.
Noted or unnoted?
So you get the pure essence if you use the
Omni Talisman.
And if you use the Elemental Talisman.
Omni Talisman will unlock all available rune types.
Very okay, nice. so there we go then. That's good.
Except for soul runes, because the soul altar.
Well, yeah, those don't exist yet.
Yeah.
Technically.
And you can teleport to both the death altar and the astral altar. You just need to be careful because you'll end up appearing inside of the Temple of Light, or you could end up teleporting close to the Sukwaz.
Those are kind of itchy anyway, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Yes, they are. All right. So, bots. Today, a news post regarding bots. Another news post. 2 in 2 weeks. So I last night before I went to bed, I was thinking, you know, what's a good schedule for Jagex to take on for bot busting posts and posts about bots in general. I was thinking, you know, every 2 weeks would be good, so we'll probably hear something again next week. But no, get on today, and here we go, another post regarding bots. So, this post is from Mark Gerard himself, and he says that, today I'm very happy to say we are in the long-awaited position of being able to announce that we'll be launching our most formidable bot-busting weapon in our history. Targeting what we believe are 98% of the bots seen in game.
Oh, that's interesting.
And this update will ship out on Tuesday, so the 25th with the next update.
That's going to be insane.
Yeah, they are highly confident that this will work, so much so that they are bringing out some bonuses for everybody to celebrate. But I just want to go through a bit more about the actual bot busting post before we get to the bonuses. First off, with them saying that they banned over 1.5 million botting and gold farming accounts, which is pretty substantial given the fact that Jagex operates in the millions, and then they say, oh, we banned 1.5 million. So that is a fairly significant number, so good on them for that. And then they you know, secrecy can be frustrating, and as a team, we've all wanted to share details about the upcoming project with the community since the very beginning of the year when we first believed it was going to be imminently ready. However, sadly, sometimes when innovating in multiple uncharted areas, it takes a lot longer than expected, and we were therefore at necessary pains to keep this project tightly under wraps while completing it, and crucially, not giving bot makers any information or warning that could assist them in working around it or preparing for it.
It's interesting.
So it's the cluster flutterer.
Yeah, the cluster flutterer. And they mention it's a reflection bot busting tool. For anybody who doesn't know, a reflection bot is a bot that works based on things that the game gives to them. So, for instance, if the reflection bot sees either through color, shape, or ID number, maybe, say, green dragon hide, it will pick that green dragon hide up. So this is the kind of bot that this is meant to target. Yes, Paul. You really do have the ability to make light of names, don't you?
That's what they're kind of going after, but I don't think that's...
I get it now. I see. Right.
Yep. Anyway, but no, it's interesting that they're going after 98% of the bots, which means there's still 2% that are going to work, which are going to get around quite quickly. But I don't know. It's nice to see that they're going to get rid of so many bots, because I've just been impressed in a very bad way of how many bots have been in free-to-play. That's what I'm free-to-play now. So it's like, everywhere you go, bots, bots, bots. I haven't seen it that bad since like 2006. I mean, it's just bad. I remember they've banned them before, and it was great for a couple of years, and now they're just back in full force. But
they have been for quite a while. You obviously haven't been listening to our past shows.
Oh, so I imagine on the 2% thing, I imagine that it'd be only mainly the ones that would be left would be the least sophisticated ones.
Yes, the dumb bots.
That are based on
what that
clicks.
Tells me.
Yeah.
Yeah, random kind of brute forcing stuff, maybe.
Yeah, or possibly that are sort of like screen based, so if the camera is moved or they're blocked, they're going to stop anyways. And so I imagine that last 2% could be taken care of relatively quickly by mods and the community in general.
Yeah, the thing is that I don't know how the game engine works well enough to know if this kind of thing would work, or even how the cluster flutterer will work with that. But the thing that people need to be mindful of, and even Jagex needs to be mindful of, is that the bot developers, that's all they do is write bots. So they are going to try and get around this. So I just hope that it's sophisticated enough that it will take a significant amount of time to do that, or it won't even be able to be written around. That's what I hope. But I am cautiously optimistic on this, because, you know, as a CEO of a company, you don't go out and make a news post publicly that you're going to be able to fix this problem if you have any kind of major doubts about this. So obviously Mark Gerard here must have enough background knowledge to know that this will be at least semi-successful. Otherwise, they wouldn't be posting about it, let alone mentioning that there are going to be rewards for players on this. So, and you know, part of this could also be due to something we'll get to in just a bit about needing a new Java version to play the game. So maybe there's something in the new Java that they can take advantage of and write in for everybody. So,
oh, they're making an update to version 7.
No, version 6 update something or other. I forget what number it is.
Okay.
So
7 just came
anyways.
Out.
Anyways. Well,
okay.
So, now, assuming this is all successful, Tuesday will go down in RuneScape history as Bot Nuking Day.
Sweet.
So they say they're going to be offering...
We need Barak Missile Silos!
No, I don't think you need a missile silo to take bots out. You'd end up taking out more than that. I think
out but the bots, and then let's just nuke everything.
I think anthrax in the water would be a better thing. Or even polonium. Polonium poisoning. That'd be fun.
Hmm. Possibly. Yeah, that reminded me of a webcomic.
Alright, so Tuesday is going to be Slayer Skill Day. All Slayer XP earned from killing assigned targets will be tripled. Some monsters will have a faster respawn time.
Hello?
That is good.
Yeah.
So, Paul, wait, you've lost access to your mouse.
Can't click anything.
Alright. Wednesday is going to be Castle Wars Day. Tickets earned from a winning game of Castle Wars will be triple the usual amount.
That's good. Sorry, I had my mic muted. It's nice that they're giving extra bonuses to the members that will be around, because those are the actual paying members versus the not only the bots but the fraudulently paying members in many cases. So.
Yep. Thursday will be Distraction and Diversion Day. Bonus rewards will be given to the following distractions: Penguin Hide and Seek, double points. Evil Tree, triple XP. Shooting Star, triple XP when mining and increased final rewards. And Familiarization players will receive the Lucky Charm and Ingredient Box instead of having to choose. Penguin Hide and Seek and Familiarization will be reset on the day, so you can do them again if you have already done them that week. All other D&Ds limitations will remain the same. Example, only 2 evil trees a day. I'm going to do penguins on that day.
Yeah, I'm going to do penguins like tomorrow or Monday, and then again on Thursday. That's going to be an insane amount of XP. Just ripe for the taking.
Yeah. I read that and I saw that. I remember penguins were really good experience.
They are.
I would definitely consider doing that. If I were a member, which many of our listeners would be. So.
And Friday will be Soul Wars Day. Players will receive triple the amount of zeal points.
Zeal.
Again,
and these will run
good.
From midnight to midnight BST, with the exception of Tuesday, which will run from game update time until midnight BST. Unlike previous bonus XP events, these modifiers will not deteriorate and will remain constant for the duration stated above.
So, if you plan to train Slayer at all, do it on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And dang, I'm going to be only thing playing I'm... Soul Wars like crazy on Friday. 6 points for one match if you win. Or no, that'd be 9 points for one match if you win. Dang. That's fast,
you know,
XP.
The only thing I'm concerned about with this is that all the Slayer spots will be mega busy and it'll be actually hard to train. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, I think that's why they increased the spawn rate, just so you'd have a little bit better chance of actually being able to get something.
Yeah, so, but still,
might,
I don't know.
It might work out. Well, wouldn't hurt to check. Plus, there's also different worlds, which is also nice. And depending on what kind of task you get, some of those things get botted, but if the bots are gone, then it could be easier.
RuneScape en français, mon ami?
I guess you could go French. I think they also German. Did they add any other ones? Spanish?
Portuguese.
And Brazilian Portuguese, yes.
Which I speak, by the way.
That'd be useful.
Yeah.
Oops.
So,
yeah, I actually considered...
That...
I remember when the Clan Citadels thing came out in as localized, I considered recording me reading it and sending it in. I just then got busy.
You could have done that, but definitely something to be looking forward to next week. Will it work? I don't know. I'd like to think so. As I said, we're being cautiously optimistic here, but with matters like this, you really can never know. So, anyways, with that being said, let's talk a bit about RuneFest. So RuneFest is a week away now. They're slowly unveiling more about what's going to be happening at RuneFest. They say, if you're trying to visualize this epic challenge, close your eyes and imagine stuffing a herd of angry gazelles into a jam jar. It's a bit like that, but if that's too hard or harrowing to picture, then the alternative is to check out the full schedule of events we've just added to the RuneFest website.
Does that mean they're overbooked?
No, they're not overbooked. There's still tickets left, as far as I know, if you want to go, or if you want to buy me a ticket.
No.
Okay. So, basically, the thing that they've added is live dungeoneering. That's right, live dungeoneering. So basically, there's going to be dungeoneering at RuneFest. Like, not in-game, but actually in person. They say all we've been able to glean is that RuneFestians will travel to the depths of RuneFest, group together, and solve a series of tasks if they're to make it through the dungeons and to see the light of day again.
If someone's actually going, and you can provide proof that you did this, I will give you $5 to yell, "Dungeoneering is not a skill!"
Oh, that would be awesome. And record it.
You have to prove it. I can't just take your word.
I don't know if you'd get either of our two RuneFest correspondents to do that, but definitely, I don't know if they'd do that, but I'll run your idea by them, Paul. I'll see what they think about dungeoneering.
You have to yell it. You can't just like whisper it. It's not the same thing.
Well, and then, maybe instead of maybe you could also bring people into dungeoneering with you, and they could be your dungeoneering familiars. It's like, oh, he's my skin weaver, and he's my world crusher, and
yeah, there you go. See, familiars are the way to get everything around. So, anyways, yeah.
Even into parties.
RuneFest, a week away. If you're going, good luck. If you're going and you're going to be tweeting from the event, send me your Twitter account and I'll be sure to mention that out to everybody so they can follow you and get updates. We do already have Matt Merciful from last year. He's going again. He's going to be tweeting this year. So let me just pull up his Twitter handle. Ah, yes. Merciful, MerciFull. You can follow him on Twitter and he'll be tweeting from the event when he's there next week. And also, Raji is also going, and he's going to be handling the picture side of thing. So we'll be doing a RuneFest debrief episode the week after RuneFest. So,
which means if they are tweeting, you will be retweeting them on the official RSPNB account, RSPNB staff.
Yes, something like that. Yes, Paul.
Yes.
Maybe not everything, but the main ones, yes.
Yes.
Well, not everything. All right, so Java version is now needed to be updated to run RuneScape, and they want 1.6 update 10.
Why would they? Why? Okay, I don't know why anyone would be on anything not 27, which is the or 28, whatever the current one is. There's a ton of security flaws in Java right now.
Well, because Windows 95, 98, and ME don't support them, and 10.4 and 10.5 of OS 10 32-bit don't support them either.
Well, you know, I'd suggest not being on Windows 95, 98, or ME anymore. 10.4 and 10.5 32-bit, not sure if they are supported at all, but
no,
unless you're
not on
XP or higher on Windows, you're not supported at all, which means you haven't been getting patches since, I believe, last July. Seriously, folks. If you can't update something, that means you probably shouldn't be using it anymore. For security reasons, anyway.
They say they're making this change because older versions of Java lack many of the features they want to use to improve RuneScape. Better graphics, sound, improved performance in areas.
So there's only
older version of Java have security flaws. How many?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 0.3%.
Fewer than
0.3, yeah. So that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, if you need to update, if you're not already on the current version, seriously. There are security holes. Just patch. Be happy.
And also, you know, it's. I'm wondering why they didn't do this sooner. I mean, why not kill off support for 1.52? Just make people update. I mean, it doesn't hurt Apple when they kill off support for products. Surely they could do that for RuneScape as well. I mean, they control everything from like the way the game works. So just say, yes, you need this version of Java. It'll work on these systems. There we go.
And if you really have these old machines that you really don't want to use, you could actually just, you know, throw Ubuntu on there or something. Like, they still put out PowerPC versions, so you just throw some distro of Linux. Ubuntu's nice-ish. I don't really like the Unity anyway, but stick that on there, you get the most recent everything, and you'll be happy. And secure. And you can play RuneScape in all the newest glory.
It's also worth noting that they're removing the unsigned version of the game, because unsigned mode gives poor performance, and it's a confusing fallback for when the game crashes. So they'll be removing the ability to choose, which is good, because you remember back in the day you could choose between Sun, Microsoft, or unsigned?
Yeah. I remember those days.
So now, and even going away with this is the HTML-based world selector at runescape.com/slu.ws, which is a good thing, I think, because if you funnel people to the in-game thing, you exert more control over your website and your game, and you can... I remember back in the day, this is how the SwiftKit people used to get their client to work, is to use the URLs from this page in order to set it up. So I'm surprised they didn't plug that sooner. But
I'm surprised they just have this around anymore. You can just do everything from in-game. I don't know why you need this page at all.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, I use the game client. What do you guys use?
I use the game client. Since it came out on Mac, it doesn't work anywhere near as well on browsers. So
I just use it. It's so nice when they finally came down with the Mac version. Yes, you can do that on Windows, but on OS X, it's just really horrible if you don't use that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you get better frame rates, you get better control. It's just overall better if you're on a Mac playing RuneScape to just use the client. Things work.
And I'm wondering how many Mac users we got out there who are listening to this show.
Probably a decent number. Would not doubt it.
All right. Now it's time to go green for Halloween. Basically, if you buy a RuneScape membership card anywhere, any country, and redeem it between the October 20th and November 4th, you will get the ability to turn your skin green at the Makeover Mage.
Okay. That's odd.
It's just green. It's just green skin.
Well, it just means you have to but you have to buy a membership card versus just having the normal renew cycle. That's kind of selfish.
Yeah. And just waiting. But they say becoming one of the Walking Dead and overindulgence in surgery treats are just two of the risks we face over the Halloween period, and both are likely to turn you green in the face. You know, this would be something to do, I think, if it's going to be limited time. So if you even have members out there and this bot thing works, maybe you should show your show that you love Jagex by buying another membership card and redeeming it. After the bot update comes out, of course. I might do that, just so I can get green skin.
You bought stuff in TF2, buying stuff for RuneScape. Skin for RuneScape, that does not surprise me.
Well, I mean, you're supporting Jagex, and if you like what they're doing and the bot update is successful, why not, right?
You're already paying for membership.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, just as a bit of extra. Like, for one, like, turn the membership off for a month, pay for that membership month this way to get green skin, turn it back on the other way. That's all. But, anyways.
Your money. Have fun.
Anybody else out there going to do that?
Probably not. I guess it reminds me too much of the species from Star Trek with the green skin.
That's a good point. Yeah.
It's like, all of a sudden, are we going to see chicks in leopard skin underwear all of a sudden? Yeah.
Yes.
You know what species are green in Star Trek, right, Paul?
I can't remember, honestly.
What's their name?
The Orions. The Orions.
Oh, Orion. Yeah, they're bad.
Yeah.
The Orion Syndicate.
Okay, so just for the record, it was not Shane that brought up Star Trek.
Thank you.
It's true.
Thank you for mentioning that. All right. With that being said, moving on. Phishing emails and how to stay safe. So Jagex put this post out to make sure players are aware of all the email scams going around. So basically, Jagex doesn't email you to do anything with your account. So if you get anything asking you to log in or reply to a message, don't just delete the email.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd imagine in this day and age, phishing scams are one of the biggest ways that people get scammed for their passwords and whatnot. Because you click on a link in a phishing email, then log into a bad website, and then there you go. So,
I opened up a phishing email thing, downloaded the attachment, and opened it up in Notepad++ and just viewed the code. They were pulling a lot of stuff from the normal sites, which is interesting.
Yes. Yes.
And they just have the form go to something blah 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 dot blah 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 dot RU, and I was like, that's not PayPal. Yeah.
Yeah, and in their post here they say official RuneScape emails will only come from an @email.runescape.com email address. Emails from any other domains are not from Jagex. However, it is possible to spoof an address to appear as it came from a real address. And then in here they go through AOL, Gmail, Windows Live, and Yahoo about how to determine whether your email is spoofed or not. So.
Yeah, Gmail does a very good job. I think Yahoo's getting pretty good. Same thing with Hotmail or Live, either way, same thing. They're getting very good at determining if it's a spam or not. So if it shows up in your spam folder, it's probably spam.
Yeah, and then, of course, they also say to make sure it's actually coming, or the links in the email are actually going to runescape.com, so make sure you hover over it before you click. To see whether it's going to something else, and just make sure it looks right too. Then they say look out for bad grammar, attachments, and account-related messages. And they say then they have a list here of things that will not be dealt with through email, including macroing, selling your account, real-world trading, received an offense, received an infraction, account is in the danger zone, account suspension, account disabled, account hijacking. Password expiring, password has been wrongly entered. To validate your email address if you haven't requested it, you are eligible for a free gift. To confirm a change in your email address, to recover your password and moderator invitation or application.
Yeah. Seriously, people, don't do that.
Free RuneScape accounts with a high level, that won't be from Jagex. Phishing email that says they're... It says you can get 5,000 free loyalty points. You can't get those. So basically what they're going to keep doing here is updating this topic with phishing emails that come around so you can see what they all are.
Give me your account information so I can log in your account and hack someone else's account using your information, because that's totally not a problem.
Username Shane 12088. Password 123. Paul should go back to dig 456.
456. I don't know what 56 is, but I'm still not going back to dig.
What, you switched over to Reddit?
A long time ago. It's awesome.
Okay, let's not talk like that. So that's it for RS updates this week. I want to move on to questions now. We only got one audio question this week. So unless anybody else has anything in the RS updates I want to mention.
Nope.
Nothing here.
Alrighty. So, and just as a reminder before I play this question, please do send us your name with your question if you leave us a voicemail. It's nice to be able to say that this is from Joe or Bob or Bill or something, rather than saying it's from unknown. So please send your name. Just remember to send your name.
Like, for example, you could say, hey, your name here, and then proceed with your question. Or sign off. You know, You know, finish your question and go from so-and-so. Yeah.
All right, here's the first question.
Hey, guys, I was, I've been a long-time viewer of your podcast, and wanted to ask you one of two questions. You can pick the one you want to answer the most. First one, I think you might have answered it before, what you think RuneScape will look like in 5 years. That's like graphical and other stuff like that. And then also, what do you think is better, having good items for combat or having better combat stats? All right. Thank you.
All right. So RuneScape in 5 years.
Well, hopefully they're not going to still be using a version 1.6 or 6, whatever it is. Yeah, hopefully they'll actually start to use more power, I suppose. I don't know. Have a
like better take advantage of the user's computer, you mean?
Yeah. So instead of being, you know, something that starts off in a browser, maybe they'll have something you download and then pull textures and whatnot from that. I mean, I guess they would probably already do that, but do something a little better. Something like WoW,
okay.
Like where you download or buy a CD, DVD, whatever, with, I don't know, 5-10 gigabytes of stuff, and then you can play off of that. I mean, it would be updated, of course, but something that would be, I don't know, just better overall graphics. Be nice.
All right, what about game content?
I'm terrible at predicting those things.
Okay.
As we've seen in the past.
For me, I agree with all your technical stuff there. I hope that we'll continue to see the improvement in graphics that we saw, especially through 2011. So I think that's going to happen for sure, because you remember last December they put out the RuneScape trailer that was indeed rendered with their engine and some of the quest graphics before like Ritual of the Majorat, for example, have been just excellent. So I hope that continues. As for the game itself, I do hope that we finish up that Western Lands Elf Plague City quest line within 5 years. I do hope that happens.
Don't count on it.
I also hope that we'll see a whole other continent added to the game, because if you look at the current place where we are right now, it is getting pretty crowded. So I think it would make sense to add another huge landmass on the size of the original membership area, like, you know, Taverly, Catherby, Sears Village, Ardoyan, Grand Tree area, like that kind of area when RuneScape 2 first came out. That amount of space I think would be good to add again. Just have it sparsely populated with maybe one or two large cities, like the size of Falador or something on each end. As for skills, I think we're going to continue on to see the skill release of once every 12 to 18 months, so maybe another 3 or 4 skills between now and 5 years out. As Jagex did say when Dungeoneering came out, that they're going to be focusing on non-conventional skills right now. So I just hope whatever comes out in the future won't be something that can be played like a minigame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, and I'm also predicting we'll have another bot war between now and then.
Oh,
and numerous economy ups and downs.
Probably at least one more, probably two, honestly, between now and then.
Yeah, so that's my thoughts. Asa, what about you?
For me, I'm right there with you on the technical stuff. Same. I really would like to see a new continent. I think that'd be really awesome. And again, I agree. The current world is feeling kind of small at this point. I'd like to see a world where it feels much more sort of wildernessy. Not like the wilderness, like the PvP area, but like you're just sort of out there. And where
yes,
you can really
like,
feel
for
like
instance,
vulnerable.
Where you could do more exploring. More exploring,
yeah.
Maybe, too.
Well, yeah, and I wish that, like, in traveling, you could feel a little bit more vulnerable. Because in RuneScape, it's like, unless you're in the wilderness, you're basically completely safe from everything. And that's kind of part of the fun of like the first of the initial levels, where you know you feel vulnerable, you feel like you could get owned by a level 5 mugger or something, you know, if you accidentally go the wrong way. And I'd kind of like it if they brought back that kind of feeling. I mean, like in Minecraft, you know, you're just wandering around and all of a sudden you come across a creeper, one of the Endermen or something, and it's like, oh, dang it, you know?
Okay, I didn't know that was possible in Minecraft.
Yeah. I mean, if you're wandering out at night, you really feel this almost sort of pressure, and it's like, ooh, what's going to come after me? And I kind of wish that, you know, if they do make a second continent, it'd have... Yeah, all of a sudden that horrible little hiss, it's like, run away! But, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'd kind of like if they had, you know, only a few cities or, you know, even a handful of cities, and then sort of huge areas completely unoccupied between them. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, like that.
With monsters that would be proportional to your level. They'd appear proportional to your level, so, you know, if you're level 20, you wouldn't all of a sudden get attacked by a level, you know, 50 or 80 or whatever. Or there'd be different sections that are different level, sort of like 4 different levels. I think that could be really interesting.
Yep, so there we go. That's our view for 5 years and what we'd like. Now, combat stats or combat items? What's more important, in your opinion?
Stats.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd rather
combat
have a
system
one...
in RuneScape.
A what? Yeah, I'd rather have a 136 character than a with just sort of with like full dragon than I don't know a 115 with you know full Bandos and 3 sets of Barrows and a God Sword and Rune Claws. You know.
Yeah, you know. RuneScape combat is a dice roll, and really, equipment doesn't mean much, and levels kind of do control what you can hit, but still, it's highly random. So,
yeah,
I think the levels are more important than the items that you have. Paul?
I would tend to agree with that, yeah.
But yeah, I even wrote an article about that, what was it, last month, about RuneScape combat, and... how I think it kind of needs to change. You know, it feels like there's almost no end game, and where you can have 2 players that are both, you know, like maxed out or really, really high level. And yeah.
And there's nothing to do for them, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like once you've got the best.
Completionist capes and whatnot.
Yeah.
Alrighty then. Thank you, Unknown. Remember to send your name in next time.
Alrighty then.
Alright, next question is from 300 Henry. Dear hosts and cohorts, what made you want to make this podcast? And if you had to choose between 99 Thieving and 99 Fletching, what would it be? And last but not least, why is the clan chat muted? From the King Hamster himself, Combat Weird.
Comrade.
Oops, I'm sorry, Comrade.
Comrade,
I don't even remember what the idea behind this show was back in 2006. It was so long ago. I think the idea was that podcasts were just starting then, and there wasn't a RuneScape one. And to this day, there still isn't a RuneScape podcast that has managed to crank out more than 20 episodes besides us and maintain a regular schedule. So I think that's some reason why I do want to continue with this is because there's such a history behind it, in particular that nobody else seems to be able to keep one going for more than 20 episodes or so.
20 terrible episodes.
I found one that had been going on for longer than that and I think still goes on, but it's like this couple, and they've got a bad mic and bad content. It's like, if you're listening to this and you're that person, I'm sorry, but really, it does not sound good at all.
Yeah, and you know, that's one thing that really annoys me, is bad audio quality. I can't stand bad audio quality, partially the reason why Trekkie isn't here this week. It was his choice, ultimately. But I just can't stand bad audio quality. I know Asa will say I've even made him go out and buy a new mic before he can come on the show, because a few times past, it was just bad.
Yeah. Well, part of that was the internet connection as well, so...
And if you're listening to something and it's bad audio, it kind of defeats the purpose of actually listening to it. Otherwise, you're just kind of struggling to hear stuff, and it's not worth your time.
Yep.
So that's the way I feel.
All right. 99 thieving or fletching?
Thieving, 99 please. Thieving.
All the way.
Yeah.
Across the sky. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go you, Shane.
Yeah, I'd go with thieving as well, because it's more useful. Fletching really doesn't have much uses aside from making bolts and putting the feathers on bolts, rather, and making bows. But really, who uses bows in this day and age? You can just get away with 85 just to have the skill maxed out in terms of what you can do. But
is it still 85?
As we all know with thieving, there might be something higher, but I really know that's where the usefulness ends. So,
because that was like what I wanted. That was like what I wanted to get when I became a member. Like in 2000,
maybe it's 91 or something.
2006. Like that was like the thing I
wanted. Yeah, everybody wanted. Everybody had high fletching back then, you know.
But it was like I wanted 85 fletching, and it still hasn't changed in the last 6 years. That's kind of sad, Jagex. Come on.
Oh, level 90 to make dragon arrows. There you go.
Dragon. Oh. That's interesting. Don't know about those.
That's pretty high for that.
Yep.
95 for dragon darts.
This would probably be decently useful.
So. Does anybody use darts?
Except
if you use darts,
not anymore.
PM me. I mean,
yeah,
it's like if
I
you
mean,
still
there's...
use darts, please PM me because
darts,
I've
knives,
never
those
seen
are...
anybody. Yeah, or throwing axes.
Yeah, no, all those only... kind of throwing things were pretty much obsoleted by chinchampas.
In most cases, yeah. It's still really cheap and pretty quick, but mainly the cheap thing. So, yeah.
Yep. Alrighty. So why is clan chat muted? Well, it's muted because we use the friends chat, because we have staff members who need kick power and whatnot in the chat, and they're already in clans. And since RSBNB is just a fan site, RSBNB itself is just a fan site, we just use the friends chat. It's easier that way. We don't have to add people to it and whatnot. So that's why the chat is turned off there. And you can access the friends chat by going into the username BitsBytes. More information can be found on the sticky in the general announcements forum on rsbnb.com/forums. There, including stuff like the official worlds, the ranks, what all the ranks mean and whatnot, and who has them and stuff like that. And did you even know that RSBNB has our own Mumble server? Mumble is it's basically a free open source version of stuff like TeamSpeak and Ventrilo. So we chose this just because it was open source and free and worked with our forum database. So, and you know, Mumble is a good thing. It's got decent audio quality. So we do have one of those as well. I wish more people would use it.
I think it's the same codec as Skype, actually. So,
okay. Well, that would explain things, because it does sound almost like Skype, but I'm not sure what the actual codec is.
And if you're on, if you are in certain games such as TF2 or something, actually, we could probably all join Mumble instead of doing it on Skype. If one person crashes, it's all set. At any rate, it also does really good integration on certain games. Like, it'll actually put a HUD up so you can see who are talking. It's nice.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that sounds like maybe we should look into then. So
yeah.
Anyways,
I
hope
doubt it would tie into
Java. Answered your question there. So thank you, 300 Henry. All right, Paul, is this the question you wanted to read?
Nope, next one.
Okay, Asa, this question then.
Okay. this is a question from Kamikaze. Hello, RSVNB update hosts. I apologize for my lengthy question last week. I got a bit carried away with the backstory. Anyways, here's my question for this week. What is your favorite aspect of iOS 5 and why? Thanks, as always, Amikazi.
Amikazi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you would have put in apostrophes, it would have been Amikazi.
Yeah. So okay. Shane, I don't know if Asa, if you use Asa. How was it?
Asa.
Asa. You use iOS 5?
Yep.
Oh, so you both can talk about this. I'm still waiting on Jailbreak, which is out, but I don't have the untethered Jailbreak, so I'm not missing much. So go ahead and ramble on, you two.
For me, two of the most important things, well, not important, but just useful things to me, are the revamped notifications, iMessage, and the little reminders app, even though it doesn't really sync well with Google, or there's no desktop version for managing it, aside from iCal. It's just kind of unfortunate. I wish there was. If there wasn't, I'd be all over the reminders thing.
iOS 5 really makes me want to have an iPhone 4S, honestly. I mean, really, I really wish that I had an iPhone 4S, because Siri looks amazing.
Hey. So if you jailbreak, you can get on anything.
Okay.
It's still not enough for me to jailbreak. I want the stability. Because this is a phone. This is a I mean, I just want it to work. I don't want any... I just want something that's going to work, something Apple that's going to work. I don't want to have any doubt with the jailbreak.
In like a week or so, I'll be on my iPod Touch, and I'll be like, Siri, how you doing? And it's going to be like, good, how are you? And you're going to be like, I can't do that because I didn't jailbreak.
I don't care.
Okay.
I have an iPod Touch, but
it's not as important for me to do that. If I had an iPod Touch, maybe I'd look into it because... There are a few things I'd like I said, I'd like more icons in the dock at the bottom. I'd like to remove the carrier thing up at the top.
SP settings will do that. Pretty much the only thing I really jailbreak for is SP settings. If I could have something like that in iOS, I'd be fine. I wouldn't jailbreak. But there isn't anything like SP settings.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. But it's just one thing for you. I don't know what it is for other people, but...
Probably free stuff. Store is fine. Also nice.
Yeah, which is the problem, I think. But anyways, Asa, what do you like about iOS 5?
I really like the messages. I don't have a texting plan, but I have a couple of friends with iPhones, so I just can message them whenever. My dad has an iPhone, so I can also message him really, really easily. So that's pretty nice. I really do like the notifications. Being able to unlock and go straight to it just from the lock screen is really quite awesome. I truly enjoy that. To have it locked and not have to unlock it, then I have a notification and have to then navigate through to it. I keep everything in folders, so. I really like that.
Ooh. Another thing I mentioned when it came out that we couldn't do before is we couldn't change the sounds for, or we couldn't use custom sounds for text messaging. And we couldn't change the sound for emails and stuff like that. So now anytime a message comes in, you can use a custom sound rather than a default built-in sound. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, pretty good. So,
my favorite feature, honestly, is I hate plugging my iPod in to my computer. I have a little charging brick, and I just plug my USB cable into that and then into the wall, and I prefer that a heck of a lot more. Okay. So being able to sync wirelessly. Is really awesome for me.
But the issue with that is I looked at the benchmarks for that, and it's terribly slow compared to plugging it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like I'm at home. I have more time. You know, it's like, and just being able to sync basically as soon as I get into the step in the door is really nice, honestly.
Yeah, I guess that is nice, but I don't use Wi-Fi on my computer, so it's always off. So I guess I can that's why I haven't turned that on yet. But I don't know. Do you find it fast enough? Because
yeah, I don't mind.
Red said it was slow. Okay.
I don't mind it. I mean,
it would probably be 2 megasecond, which is probably about 5 times slower than it would be over USB 2.0. But even then, you could just leave it kind of just going on in the background and.
Yeah,
which would be nice. I never plug my iPod in either. I pretty much listen to podcasts exclusively and download applications, so I can do all that from the iPod. And I plug it in and update maybe once every 4 or 5 months. So, 3 or 4 months.
See, that's one thing also that was good about it, but it doesn't really affect us, is you can now use an iPhone, iPod, or iPad PC free.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think many people.
That's good.
Yeah, but.
But you know, it's good to get people into the market, because some people might just want a tablet and they don't have a computer. So why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I suppose.
Anyways, that's enough about iOS 5. That segment was going to be probably longer than this one piece of tech news we have later.
Okay.
All right, Paul, you wanted to read this one?
Yeah, only because I wanted to say, dear Tremendous Trekkie, who wasn't here, unfortunately, awesome Asa, and...
Yay! You'd be Sex Perky Shane. Paul.
I use punctual because I'm always on time. But, awesome Asa, okay. And Sexy Shane. Yeah, someone said you're sexy. Congratulations. This past week, my family and I visited the magical world of Disney, and of course, Harry Potter World and Universal Park for some butterbeer in Orlando. I must confess, despite my age, I had a blast. However, I wondered where else in the world could you do something like this? Aside from the theme parks, Japan and Walt Disney World France, what other amusement parks are popular either in your area or in your area or around the world? Have you been there? If so, what is it like? Good luck. Love, Zilla. So, I think around here we have Six Flags, and there's something else that's actually... in Canada. It's like a half hour, 45 minutes away, and I can't remember what it is. But it's another type of theme park. Or it's not like a theme park, but it's like a... Or it's not a chain, I don't think, but it's a theme park type dealy. That's what's up in Vermont area.
Okay.
What about you guys?
Yeah, you guys don't have much up there, do you?
It's Vermont. We don't have anything up here. Except for Ben and Jerry's. We have Ben and Jerry's.
Ben and Jerry's. Love
yeah,
Ben Jerry's.
I go down to the plant. It's like a half hour from here.
I've heard that what was it? The cherry one is the one that the pigs love the most.
Yeah, they'll take the excess of that and they'll just spray it in the fields for fertilizer, and then stuff will eat it, or they'll just give it to pigs and they'll eat it. Yeah, apparently it's good stuff. Yeah. So, well,
hey.
For them, I mean, I like it just normally, but
yeah. For me, okay, let me just preface this. I currently live in the state of Washington, so Pacific Northwest. I live essentially across the water from Seattle. I'm being quite vague, so there are plenty of small towns across across the water, so no, please don't find me. You probably won't be able to.
Forks?
No, no. But guess what? We have weather kind of like that. So basically, we only, like, there is one water park, I believe, that's sort of near Tacoma. I do not live in Tacoma. That's not across the water, but there's one sort of near Tacoma-ish, and it's like a water park. And it only is open about 3 months a year, and even then... Okay, so the oatmeal, I think, best summarizes what weather here in the Puget Sound area is like. It's basically rainy, dreary, and dull for most of the year. And then for about 2 weeks, in 2 or 3 weeks in about July or early August, it's then beautiful, amazing, gorgeous, and idyllic. And then about 30 seconds later, it then turns horrible, nasty, and rainy. So
okay, so the weather plays in how with...
Okay, we only have that one wild waves that's like a ways away. And even then, it's like there would be nowhere to go. There's no point in going to amusement parks when it's as rainy and nasty as it is here.
All right. I think we have more than you here then.
More amusement parks or rain?
Amusement parks. rain, not so much.
Yeah, rain,
a ton of rain here.
It's like between forks, it's like we get some of the highest rainfall in the whole U.S. or something like that. It's insane. Seriously, Californians get depressed when they come up here because they get depressed when they go to Portland, and Portland isn't half as rainy as it is here. So,
you know, that's weird. It very rarely rained a few times that I've been to Seattle there, so I must have been there during the few weeks when it's a beautiful period, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably have. I'm guessing that.
Anything else relating to amusement parks then for you, Asa?
In Brazil, there's only like one major amusement. I used to live in Brazil, for those that don't know. There's only one sort of bigger one. I mean, rather, there was only one sort of famous one, and that... at least in the region of the country that I lived in, and that was like 5 hours away. So, yeah. Not happening.
All right. Here we have a few tiny places that are mainly, I guess, just outside, weather-permitting things in the summer that you could do. So, that's kind of off to the side. One of the main ones, focusing primarily on... rides and whatnot, is called Capital X. It's basically a two-week kind of thing here. Lots of rides, unhealthy food, those kind of games that rip you off, and snake oil salesmen. So,
yeah,
that's in the summer for 2 weeks. Open year-round, though, is West Edmonton Mall featuring Galaxy Land, which is essentially a big amusement park indoors. Lots of stuff there. As you know, being a local, we rarely go there, but that's the biggest amusement park in Alberta, I believe. So that's that. But also water parks. The mall also has a water park too. So that's something that also goes in that same category as what Asa was describing there. So, yep, got it all in one place.
Yep.
And I can safely say you guys can come to this mall here and you won't find me, because it's a big place. So even if we were there on the same day, you wouldn't see me.
Unless you knew what you looked like.
Or you knew where I was going to be, because it's just, unless you plan a meetup, it's very unlikely you'll see someone there, even if they're there on the same day as you.
Yikes. Is it, like, how big is it? Is there, that'd be... That's got to be insanely big.
I think it's I don't know, 8 city blocks by 8 city blocks. I'm not sure on the actual physical size of it by square meters or anything, but I'll show you a picture on the satellite. That should do enough justice for that. Let me just focus in here on it. And yes, for anybody wondering, it's in the same part of the city where I live. So I live on the west end of Edmonton. It's not going to be much help, but there you go. Link is on the way to that. There you go. That's how big it is. So if you take a look at that scale there, probably, I don't know, 800 meters that way and 400 meters, 500 meters big. The other way.
So it's a couple
two levels, three kilometers. Levels in some places. Yeah, square kilometers, yes. So
east side of Edmonton?
No, west. West
side.
The good side of the city. The best places to live in Edmonton are west and southwest. They're also the most expensive.
Ah, that's where you'd live totally then, huh?
No, we live on the west end.
Oh. West end.
Anyways, thank you for that question,
Zella. I know someone in St. Albert. Yeah.
What? You know someone in St. Albert?
No. In Burlington, there's the south end. That's not good stuff.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah. I realized they're called end, something end. Yep. Yep. The Daisy. Next question.
I think we answered Remska.
Answered that one.
Yes,
totally.
We did. Hello, Shane, Paul, and Asa. I would like to start out with a bit of a rant. So I'm reading this instead of Paul. DEFCON 2 is out freshly this week, which is cool, but it reminds me that Halloween is just around the corner. But blank kids will be blanking, knocking on my door and asking for lollies on a holiday which that we don't celebrate. Other blanking word.
WTF, mate.
It used to happen, never happened prior to the last couple of years. If more of these things happen, we may as well celebrate Thanksgiving. Other blanking word.
WTF.
Okay.
You can say WTF.
With my rant out of the way, I would like to ask some RS-related questions. Since the Bandos God Sword price range has dropped close to a Ceridoman Sword, what sword should I buy for straining strength? Ideally, further down the road, I would buy both. But since at this time, I can only afford one with currently level 70 strength and 71 attack. And last thing is a bit late, but RIP Steve Jobs. I love my MacBook Pro. Without you, I don't think the RSBNB podcast will be here or called the podcast. Cheers, Vegemite Eating Maremska.
So he must be from Australia.
He is.
Given from the Vegemite thing. Because no one else likes Vegemite except for the weird Australians.
Ugh. Yeah, New Zealand eats Marmite.
I'd rather just have... oh, crap. We just got some more. Nutella. Oh, that's delicious.
Nutella's amazing. Sorry to you. Sorry to those of you that don't like Nutella.
I think even Shane had Nutella recently, right?
No, I don't think so, no.
I thought you were talking
about... Have you ever had...
I could have sworn this stuff.
No.
Have you ever had Nutella?
Nope.
I don't think you'd forget that. It's delicious.
Oh. No.
Have you ever had Ferrero Rocher?
No.
Nope.
Oh. Okay. Have you ever had hazelnuts?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, imagine hazelnuts and chocolate.
Because that's basically what it is. Okay. It's delicious.
It's amazing. It's good on almost
anything. Can we answer the question about swords now rather than eating, because I'm kind of hungry at this time?
So, about that food. See, Ceridoman sword, like the normal sword, not the god sword, but the sword. Is that cheap already? That's pretty good.
The
special.
I'd go with Bandos since they're kind of equal, actually, because remember, Bandos lowers defense. Right. Yes.
They're both two-handed. The Ceridoman sword is as fast as a whip, though, unless they change that. So that's nice.
Yeah, that's true. The Bandos god sword is going to be slower because it's a god sword
harder,
and it's heavier.
So
yeah,
it's pretty much like the only... I don't know. It's slower.
Does the Ceridoman sword have a... Okay, Ceridoman sword 4.9, Bandos 4.3. Wow, I never thought that would happen.
I
just want to see if the Ceridoman sword has a crush option. If it has a crush, a slash, and a stab option, I would go with that.
Over the Bandos God Sword?
Ceridoman God Sword is 25 mil. Oh god, I bought that like 119 mil.
Ha ha!
I sold it once, and then I bought it back like the next week, and I made like... I did lose, end up losing like 10 mil because of that. But... Yeah, the second time I bought it was like 90 mil. And I used the crap out of it. I gained a lot of money by it, so I didn't really lose money.
Here's what you want to do. You want to use the Ceridoman God Sword if you're doing Slayer, camping at Waterfields, maybe,
Just normal sword.
Oh, yes, Ceridoman Sword. I meant that, sorry.
Yep.
Ceridoman Sword, if you're doing Slayer, just general Slayer kind of tasks, camping at water fiends, that sort of thing. Buy the Bandos God Sword if you're going to be going boss hunting, because that special will be more useful to you in a boss hunt than it will be when you're fighting a relatively low-leveled monster compared to, say, a level 500 creature or something like that. So definitely go with the God.
It uses a full spec bar, right? Bandos God Sword?
Yes, that's true. And as you said, there's also the speed issue as well. So
it's slower. You'll want to bring a secondary weapon. It's not like, if you want either of those, I mean, honestly, you'd probably be better off. Well, I guess Ceridoman's Sword, you can train Crush with it, right? That's why it was good.
Yeah, and that's what you want for the Water Fiends.
Yeah, I know that's why it was really popular. Same thing with the Zamorak staff thing. The
Zamorak spear.
Spear, that's the one.
Is it Fiends or Fiends? I always thought it was Fiends.
It's Fiends. Like, you're a Fiend. So it's Water Fiend.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing like tomato or tomato.
Right. Oh, even Armadillo Godsword's down to 40 mil. Wow. Those things have fallen. Did they get replaced by anything good? Like 100
Dungeoneering weapons.
Screw that. All right. So, Ceridoman Sword, if you want to do Slayer, and Godsword if you want to boss hunt. I would tend to say, just ditch the Sarah Sword and use a whip, and get a have the whip and a defender of some sort. Either Rune or Dragon, since that came out.
Yeah.
Unless you want the Crush. If you want Crush, Sarah Sword is probably the one you want to go for. The special on Bandos isn't really worth it. You'd be better off using that and then swapping to Dragon Dagger or something else that have a better special. But yeah. So unless you need the Crush.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there on that.
I would just say with a whip. Yep. And let me guess, Dragon Fire Shields are down to like 5 mil.
Oh yeah, those two. Yep. Oh, I should buy one.
Dragon Fire Shields are pretty nice.
I paid 20 something mil for mine. Sold it for like 15.
And it's gone up. Look at how much it's gone up in the past 2 days.
I mean, someone's probably merchanting it, because nothing else came out that was good. Man, they dropped. I sold mine for like 20 something. I think I even sold it for more than I paid for it, because it went up for some strange reason. Either way, it's good shield. So, thank you.
I think we got that one. Thank you, Maramska. Yes, and reminder to everybody else, question topics will be posted on Monday, rsbnb.com/forums, or you can leave us an audio question by sending an email with the question attached to questions@rsbnb.com, or leaving us a voicemail on Google Voice at 571-57BNB or 571-572-2632. And please do remember to include your name when you send in an audio question, because we like your names. We like your names. It just makes us feel better. So, anyways, with that being said, on to tech news. Yes, Paul, you are right in noticing that it's an all Google week.
It's all the Google! Yes.
So, Google,
which is interesting because.
Yes.
Because Google's everywhere. I've even called my my Gmail account that I've set up as an Exchange account the Google Overlord, because it handles everything I do.
Mm-hmm. I know. If I actually did something that was bad, Google would know about it. Because they know everything about me.
Yeah, there was a murder last year in Quebec where a guy searched on Google how to hide a body.
Way to go on that one. Either burn it I'd probably burn it. Burn it if you're good. And like salt it. Not salt it. you burn it and then you would dissolve stuff in either acid or something. Yeah, you never find it. You'd find some junk. Oh, it's doable.
Okay.
So,
I wasn't asking how to do that.
It'd be disgusting as heck, but you could do it. Ugh. Couldn't deal with a dead body like
okay.
that. Okay. Nasty. Or kill somebody.
Right. Tech news. Google Plus, back on track now.
Yep. Shift stance on anonymity.
I don't like that.
Nah.
I don't like that. I thought they were doing a good thing by making it so that you have to enter your real name and use that real name, because with that, I mean, it's one less thing that people will hide behind on the internet. And when people are unmasked and out in the open, it makes them more accountable to their actions, which I think is a good thing. So I kind of wish that they would have stayed on this, but apparently they're going to start allowing it. But I don't know. I just think that if you want to be anonymous, you can just create a Twitter account and use that. Like, people create Twitter accounts for their dogs and whatnot. So, I mean, maybe Twitter's a better place to be if you don't want to have your real name. But, you know, Google Plus has been such a great thing for discussion and everything. I just don't think having anonymous users on there with fake names is a good thing, because then if there's somebody you don't like, they're just going to create an anonymous account and come in and start messing up your posts. So, I don't like the idea. What do you guys think? Yes or no?
I don't think they're going to have that problem, honestly. They're really good with spam, and since posting random messages would be considered spam, I think it'll be taken care of well enough that it's not going to be an issue. Same thing on Facebook. The spam isn't too bad in most cases.
Except for Farmville.
I block. Seriously, if someone uses an application, I block them. No, I don't block the person. I block the application. One of my friends just invited me to Mafia Wars 2, because I blocked Mafia Wars 1, but Mafia Wars 2 I didn't. So I saw the notification. I was like, and block that application. I don't know, it's just easy. Yeah. That's nice. They're also rolling it out for app accounts.
Yes, that's good, because, you know, that's another way into the business and everything. So maybe this is a precursor to the business accounts or something, you know?
Yeah, business accounts are in, like, beta or, like, alpha stages, because Google Plus is in beta, but I think it is, right? Probably. It's Google.
I didn't even know. This is something to think about, so... But, you know, maybe if it gets more people onto Google Plus, it's a good thing. I mean, I like the idea of it being out in the open and everything, everybody's names, but there needs to be a reason for people to switch to Google Plus and start using it more. And I think I'm slowly discovering what the use case of Google Plus is, comparing it to Twitter and Facebook side by side. Google Plus is a nice happy medium between the two, it seems, but on a higher level, if you guys know what that means.
Yeah, but there needs to be more people, and unfortunately it's kind of a conundrum. You have to have people to get people, so until that really happens...
And people won't leave right now, because more, people they know are on one site or another.
Yeah, and there's not really enough to make you switch from Facebook. So, I mean, there's some stuff I like about Google Plus, but for most things, I'm much more happy on Facebook, just because everyone's already there, and I don't know, there's nothing that's bad that makes me want to switch.
And also with Facebook, you gotta remember that they brought out the same kind of sharing features that Google Plus did eventually. So they pretty much have the same feature set now. Except, you know, Facebook has the Facebook-y UI, whereas Google has the nice minimalistic utilitarian Google UI.
I like that.
Yeah,
me too. Nice. But, all right. Now, we should have timed that question regarding to iOS 5 earlier and see whether we spend more time on that or this Android 4.0 announcement.
Well, we're not done. We haven't even talked about Android 4.0, so...
Well, that's next up.
Yes, it is. Speaking of the thing we were just talking about, speaking of, Android 4.0 ice cream sandwich is out, or it has been announced. Anyway, it's not out.
I love how the names that Google comes up with for its stuff in general.
Desserts. I mean,
yeah, ice cream sandwich. Where did that come from? I mean, okay, so Wave was a reference to Firefly. I mean, there are a whole bunch of different references that they've made over the years to different things. And it's like, what is ice cream sandwich a reference to?
Yum, yum, yums?
They just... Well, all their Android versions are all based on, or the names are all just desserts. So, and I think they go by a Don't they do something with letters too? Or no?
That's Ubuntu. That's Ubuntu.
So they don't do anything with letters. So they just do different desserts. So it was I don't know. There was cupcake, donut, gingerbread, honeycomb. What was right before ice cream sandwich? There's like ice cream, then ice cream sandwich.
Or I don't know.
Froyo, frozen yogurt. Then ice cream sandwich. Yeah.
Right.
I wonder if they're gonna have a sundae.
Oh, probably. Nice. But you know, I like the piece of hardware that they showed this phone on.
That looks so nice.
Except the OS. I mean, I like iOS, but you know, it still looks good. I think this is the case of showing what the Linux is going to be used for inevitably. Linux is not going to the desktop. This is what Linux is going to be. This kind of, you know, this is where it's going to find its success as a embedded platform. So, with that in mind, hardware first. 1280 by 720 display.
Oh, that's so nice.
I think it's a 4-inch display too.
4.6 something or 4.3.
Okay, so we're almost entering tablet territory then.
Not really. It's not that big.
You think? I don't know. Yeah, I think the iPhone's a pretty perfect size. I don't know how much bigger you could go without it being an issue.
Well, if you're touching it, I think you'd want it a little bigger. You wouldn't mind it being a little bigger.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't think you'd want much bigger than what they said. It was like iPhone and iPod Touch is what was it 3. Something?
3.6.
And then from corner to corner though, it's what 4 something. So it's still got like a half inch on both sides. So the screen itself is 3.6, and then you throw in the bezel, and it's another. Probably it's up to 4.6, so then you add probably another half inch on top of that. It can't be that much bigger than this. Yeah. I don't know how big the bezel on the new thing is, but...
I still can't get over 1280 by 720.
It's so nice. That's amazing. That's almost as good as... Well, I mean, it's higher pixel density and all, but it's almost as good as the resolution you get on a normal 15.6-inch laptop for... $300.
Yep.
$500.
So,
another story.
You know, I would like to try Android out, but I just don't have the hardware to do it. So, I don't know what I can do about that. Like, this operating system looks pretty interesting. It's even got this feature where you can unlock the phone by showing it a picture of your face, which is interesting. But I don't know how well it's going to work for the masses.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting Android on my touchpad. I could do the alpha thing now. I don't really want to bother with it, but and right now that's on Gingerbread, I want to say. And so the next they come out with, because Honeycomb never came out with the source code. Google kept that hush hush because I guess they weren't very happy with it. But then Ice Cream Sandwich will be coming out. And I'm sure that'll get ported over decently quick, since everything else should already work. So that will be meant for tablets, and I'm really looking forward to having that on my tablet, seeing how it operates with a dual-core processor and all that.
4.0, as you said, is also coming to the tablet, which is a good thing. So the two operating systems are actually going to be unified now, which is good.
Yes, which is it's also good, yeah.
So...
Yeah,
I don't really have much else to say on this. I kind of wish we had an Android user on the show here today.
Ask me like in less than, or probably about a month, and I'll have a nice review for you. On the SDK, I was able to install Amazon stuff, so I get all the free applications now daily, which is nice. Not that I use them.
Oh, yeah, but it says, don't like some of those preloaded carrier apps? You can disable them.
Yay!
Nice. Which is good. I mean, I like, that's one thing on iOS that I think would be nice, would be able to hide certain applications you don't use. Like, for instance, I'm not going to be using Newsstand or Stock. It's not worth it to jailbreak just for that.
It's yourself.
At least not
quick access to everything. It's so nice.
So, anyways, that's Android 4.0. Definitely a nice piece of hardware. I think that piece of hardware is definitely better than the 4S in terms of specs, but, you know, I still like iOS, so it's just me.
It'd be interesting to see how the camera compares, but I bet you Apple probably still went out on that.
Yeah, probably, because, you know, that's what Apple always does.
They always get good glass, which is nice. I'm sure it's not going to be a bad phone, certainly, or a bad camera, but I bet you Apple still went out on that. And they've also went to a fully integrated battery. They don't have a removable battery, as far as I'm aware.
Oh, that's good.
I still would like a removable battery on some things.
No, you don't need a removable battery because it allows them to focus more on the actual hardware itself and build the battery in so that it takes up less space and they can focus on creating more room for that CPU to exist, you know? So...
I guess.
That's one thing Apple has taught everyone. But anyways, moving on to the last story now. Gmail interface overhaul. All I can say about this is it's about time, even though it was from a little leak here that was posted on Google and then removed, and then, of course, somebody grabbed it before it was removed. So I assume we all use Gmail for our mail, yes? No? Maybe so?
I do.
That means yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I like the way they're going to be handling conversations and labels. It makes it look more like an instant messaging type stream, which is something that I was interested in. Because, you know, that's one thing Facebook does, is you message someone on their site, it can become an email. So that's what Google is making these conversations look like now on here, which is a good thing. Also, the search interface is improved too, which is pretty good because, you know, granted it is Google search, but why not have a little bit more help with helping the user search? So, anyways.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for this.
That'd be nice. You guys? I'll use Gmail online, so I'll notice it as soon as it happens. It'll be nice to see.
I was thinking of switching back to Apple Mail with this because it's a more native experience on OS X. But if this thing's going to be coming out soon, that might be able to hold me over and just basically polish it up to bring it to the modern standards, you know?
It's pretty much the top of the standards from anything that I found anyway. I much prefer the online interface versus anything that I can find. I don't want to deal with Thunderbird. I don't want to deal with Outlook. Thank God.
Oh, yeah. Those are pretty bad.
I don't want to deal with any of that stuff. I just like it online. I find everything really quick. It's really nicely laid out already, so anything they change will be interesting. But I don't know. I enjoy Gmail in all aspects. I use filters for some things, and it just works. It's great. So... hopefully these changes will be complementary to that experience.
And soon, not like 6 months from now.
Yeah, it'll be less than a month for everybody, I assume. I mean, it's probably going to be a rollout like they usually do, but I would expect it probably another 2 weeks, certainly.
Yeah, because they did say they would be coming within the few months, and search has already changed, docs has already changed, and other things have already changed as well with their interface changes, so it makes sense that the Google one will be coming sometime soon as well.
Yeah, voice change, I think Google Music already had that look, sort of. But yeah, Google Voice just changed in the last couple weeks, so that's nice.
Alrighty then. So if you're not a Gmail user, now's a good time to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Gmail, I honestly, just personally, I don't like having on computer or local mail clients. I just, you know, it's like if somebody all of a sudden got my computer, you know, I don't want them to have access to all my files and all of my emails. So.
Yeah, that's a good point with that.
Yeah.
Anyways, that is it for tech news this week, so moving on to some other things. First up being the Skill of the Month update for October. Currently in first place, and from the looks of things, looks like he was still in first place last week when we recorded, was, or she, I mean, I didn't know who it was, she, Pris, currently first place with 10.9 million prayer experience gained. Second place is Adiv with 8.2 million XP, who was briefly in first a few days back, but is now in second. And third place, SXE, catch up with 5.9 million experience gained.
Yep.
This is truly impressive. You guys are quite
dedicated. Yeah, I know. It's prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang. Expensive.
I only just caught the irony of that one. Anyway. Yep.
So keep going. Still a week left. Somebody
How
in
many people
second or third
have
might be able
still
to
still have zero experience. We've got four people with zero.
Someone buried a bone. Minor goo. Congrats. what's less? A bone is five, so what's four? It's less than
scatter
a bone.
And ash? I don't know.
Yeah, probably the lowest level.
Oreo Snicker or Oreo Snick buried a bone. I don't know. Either way. Yeah. Good stuff.
All right. So.
Yeah.
Achievement
most
in one
day
of the
was
week.
Over 2 million. Jeez. 2.25 million in one day.
And now with Skill of the Month, and we did mention Pris was in first place. We're also going to mention that she got 99 prayer, our one achievement this week, so congratulations to you.
Yay!
Let's see, does it look like she's continuing with prayer even though she got 99? Yes, so that's good.
Probably not for too much longer, though.
No, yeah, why would you continue after you have 99 prayer with such an expensive skill, unless it's for this competition?
I have like an extra million above, I think, for prayer, or 300,000. I have extra experience, but it's never been for training. It's just been out in the field burying bones. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
So, Shane.
I have a pick this week. I feel this pick is a good pick to mention. It's not something everybody will be interested in, but it's, I think, something everybody should watch. It's a documentary that is put together by a group of people who do have an immense knowledge on the subject that they're going to be talking about. They're people, past foreign policy experts, past members of U.S. government, past international diplomats. You're probably wondering at this point what the thing is, but before I take the lid off it, does anybody want to guess what it is?
Wikipedia.
No. It's a movie. Does that help?
I didn't hear the full thing. Sorry.
Well, it's a movie called Iranium.
Iranium. Like I-R-A-N-I-U-M?
Yes.
Would it then be Iranian?
Iranium.
Yep. It's basically a documentary that profiles Iran and how they got to the state they currently are, and what the dangers are of their nuclear program, and why something really does need to be done to stop Iran at this stage before anything goes any further, with whether or not it be their influence in Mideast politics, or if they do indeed get a nuclear weapon. So this just goes through all of the things and why it's so important that they be stopped, and why people need to be sticking up more about this when they got such a crazy leader there who, you know, really, in my opinion, is Hitler 2.0 in this day and age. So definitely check this out. They did have a free screening online a while back. I'm not sure if there are still free versions online, but you can buy the DVD for $20.
IranianTheMovie.com.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, It's got high profile actors in there who talk as well. Same with a narrator and actor as well. And as I said, lawmakers, foreign policy experts. So this isn't just a movie. This isn't a movie made by a group of people. This is an actual movie with a bit of credibility behind it. So definitely something to check out.
Cool. Yeah, I think it's kind of ironic that you say, you know, Hitler 2.0 about Ahmadinejad, the guy that refuses to acknowledge that the Holocaust even happened.
Yeah, exactly. See?
Insane, man.
And it's such an oppressive regime there and whatnot. So it's really only a matter of what he would do if he had a nuclear weapon, you know? So
they apparently do have nuclear capabilities, so...
Yeah, well, the whole Stuxnet thing last year as well to stop their enrichment program. So
it's true.
Definitely something to be concerned about in this day and age.
The SSL, or not the SSL, but the RootCA hack was actually used by the Iranian people to gain access to Google accounts of potential insurgents. So
yeah,
or so. Not insurgents. What's it called?
Dissenters.
Dissidents. You had the word.
So
dissenters.
So
dissidents.
So there we go. That's another problem with Iran. So definitely take a look at this movie and write your lawmaker about it. I was turned on to it because here in Canada, for some reason, it was to be screened in Ottawa at a museum, and the Iranian embassy in Ottawa wrote the museum and told them not to screen it. And for some silly reason, the museum said they weren't going to screen it. So then the government stepped in and said that, yes, you really should be showing this movie. So, really.
Well, why would the museum listen to the... I mean, no offense to...
I don't know. Exactly.
Why would they even listen to that?
Either they were pressured via violence, or they just wanted to respect the feelings of somebody else. It's the only thing I could think of.
It's freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of assembly.
Yeah, I mean, not wanting to offend somebody, that's one thing, and sort of respect for the other. Okay, that I understand. But when you're getting to the point of saying, don't show it because we just don't like it, I mean, if it was a movie about... I don't know how horrible Jews are, let's say, because we're talking about the Holocaust and Ahmadinejad is, well, Ahmadinejad. Okay, that I can understand somebody saying, please don't show that, and them listening and saying, okay, we're not going to show it. But when it's something about political commentary, that's like, what?
Yep, and that's partly why I put it out as my pick this week, because I think more people need to see it and more people need to be made aware of it.
More people
need to be aware of what the actual problem is with it. So,
or many problems.
Yep, so that's the pick this week. Yeah, so it's a good thing.
I'll take a look at it, definitely. At least try to.
Yep. All right. And just as I mentioned before we wrap the show up next week, RuneFest is happening. And I'm sure you all remember last year we talked to Merciful after RuneFest. So Matt will be tweeting once again. And you can follow him on Twitter at Merciful. MERCIFULL. Send him a hello. Tell him you're from RSBNB Update. Alright, so what have we been doing? Paul, what have you been up to this week?
School stuff. I've got to build my... Also, I have to build a new desktop for my grandparents who will be coming up over Thanksgiving, so researching into that.
Yay, that's always fun.
Mm-hmm. I've been watching Dollhouse. It's
nice.
A very good show. I'm on season 2.
Joss Whedon!
Which is, unfortunately, the last season. I'm on episode 4.
Yeah, it got cancelled, didn't it?
Yeah, it's Joss
Whedon. What's
that about?
I know,
I
know on Security Now they talked about it when it was out, but I didn't watch it, so...
It's about a place that can wipe your mind, and so then you are basically a doll that they load up with different parameters for different people. So they basically rent your body out with an entirely different personality, and that personality, for all intents and purposes, is who you are when you have that. And they could actually make it so that you need glasses or that you have asthma. Like, they can just program that into you. So a lot of people will get rented out for, like, sexual type dealy stuff, or that's a lot of it. I don't know. It's very good stuff. It is Joss Whedon, so you can't really complain so much. It's freaking Joss Whedon. And after I finish this, I'm going to start in on Buffy. Huh?
Fox has some kind of vendetta against him. I mean, this is the second of these shows since Buffy that has gotten canceled by the Fox Network. Third? What was the first? Okay. Oh, yeah. Angel, then Firefly, then Dollhouse, right?
Yeah.
Darn you, Fox Network.
Firefly. I think it's just because they have... dang it, now I forgot her name. Summer Glau. If Summer Glau comes on a show, it's going to get canceled.
Yep, pretty much the kiss Terminator.
Terminator. Yeah. She's on Dollhouse for like one or two episodes, apparently. I haven't seen her yet. I will pretty soon. And then Firefly, yeah. It's a shame.
Firefly was amazing.
Yeah, but I didn't see it till way after the fact. I've seen it two or three times total.
Same. Shane, have you watched Firefly at all? I know this is a dumb question.
It's 13 episodes plus eight. No, is it 12
you
episodes?
You have to watch
plus a movie.
That.
Watch it. Don't watch the movie till after you
all
watch
right, I'll get to it.
Okay. I'd be happy if you watch that, since you don't want to watch Star Wars at all. You just watch the old... just watch Firefly and then watch the movie after the fact, because you don't want to watch it before.
There are 14 episodes.
It's not good. The movie's one.
Okay.
It's 13 plus the movie.
So
no, there
we all like sci-fi episodes. Here. That's really apparent. So... maybe one day we just need to do a sci-fi based episode or something.
That'd be fun.
I need to watch so much more sci-fi. I need to watch Battlestar stuff. Actually, pretty much that's all I need to watch, is Battlestar stuff. Yep.
Okay, so what else have you been doing, aside from watching
schoolwork, the computer thing, and being disappointed with Bulldozer? Dang it, AMD. That's pretty much it.
Go Intel.
I can't go Intel if
with an
AM3 plus
motherboard. Don't be disappointed
if
you do. Oh, right. That's a good
point.
Yeah,
I could like try to jam it in there, but I don't think that'd be a very good waste of. I don't think that'd be a very good use of my money. Although I could, I could actually take my desktop and turn it into my grandparents' desktop and get an i5 2500K. Ooh, that could actually happen. I have a really good motherboard though. I don't want to give them that. It's a $100 motherboard. And it's really good for $100. Yeah.
Okay,
at any rate, that's what I've been doing.
All right. Asa, you this week, anything?
For me, school mainly. I'm in college, so that's less fun than I thought it'd be. My math class.
Yeah,
I have a
math. Oh, really? Mine was more fun than I thought it would be.
Well, at least this first quarter.
Quarter?
Yeah, I have a...
semester, bub?
No, semester? It's a quarter. No, it's
quarters?
A quarter. Yep.
That's weird.
Hey. It's nice, because if you have a bad teacher, then it only lasts for, 2 months instead of 4 months. So.
Yeah, but you're
that's
like...
That's a good point.
Come on, now. Quarters, that's not supposed to happen in college.
It's like a football game.
Anyways, you mean American football, not real football.
Yes, that's right.
Football.
I don't usually dislike people for being people, because humans are human. I usually dislike them for something other than that, and this lady, I do not agree with her teaching methodology. It's like, what? No, you shouldn't even be doing that. Anyways. So that, I've been playing on the Reddit Minecraft server, which has been really, really fun.
Oh, the thing's insane.
Yeah. But no, the PvE server. so that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
I've got a whole island that belongs to me. If you're on the Reddit Minecraft server, I can find the coordinates. Just give me a moment. But
new, I believe it is.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Let's see. The coordinates for my island, if you are on the Reddit Minecraft server, nerd.nu, you can also see it on the map at nerd.nu/map/PVE, is...
This sounds highly involved to find out where you are at.
Found it. 757-1845, approximately. That's my island. Yes. nerd.nu.map/map/pb.
It doesn't show up anything.
Maps. Sorry, maps.
Ah, M-A-P-S. Gotcha. That would then, be it.
Yeah.
Holy crap, that loads quite well.
Yeah, and then the coordinates are 75718 and then 641845.
So is this something that was built by players?
Yep.
All of this?
Well, the whole world is auto-generated, but everything else is player-built, basically. As you can see, it's pretty dang insane.
Alrighty. Anything else?
Other than that, I finished the second season of Fringe, which was also quite awesome. Fringe is, it's kind of like if you like the X-Files or the Twilight Zone or...
Oh, I like the Twilight Zone. I should watch Fringe then.
Fringe is so good. Fringe is amazing. It's with John Noble that was Denethor in Lord of the Rings. And a couple other actors. It's really, really good. Paranormal. There have been times where I've been watching and then it gets to the end and something is revealed where literally my jaw has dropped.
Oh, that's good. And I know Leonard Nimoy's had a few little spots in there too. So
Leonard Nimoy! Have you watched The Big Bang Theory yet? You have to watch The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
No, not yet. But anyways, alrighty then. So thank you, Asa.
You're welcome.
And as for me this week, I just did a bit of mining on RS, a good chunk of programming, and a bit of StarCraft, a bit of TF2 here and there. I bought a few things on the Valve store because Paul didn't negotiate with me, so I gave Valve 99 cents instead of giving him some stuff.
I negotiated. You didn't negotiate well enough.
Well, you should have started at your original 2.0 and haggled down to 1.5 then.
Well, that's your problem.
Well, I didn't know you were going to start. I would have preferred if you would have started at 2.
I tried to give you a discount, but no, don't take the discount. Yeah.
That's okay. I put my money elsewhere, so I'm happy with that.
What did you buy?
I bought the Fancy Fedora, because that's what he was going to give me, and I also bought the Texas 10-gallon for my engineer, which I've wanted for a while, and I treated myself to a lottery ticket to buy to unlock one of my crates. I decided I'm going to unlock one of them once per month. I unlocked a crate 29 and got a strange Islander.
Nice.
You could actually probably sell that for maybe a 2 scrap, maybe.
2 scrap.
Something
not
like
even
that.
A reclaimed?
No. It's the Islander.
That's too bad. Yeah, it's a pretty bad weapon, but anyways.
I mean, it's not total
That's
junk,
pretty much all
it's...
I've been up to.
What makes strange ones different? I've seen them around before, but it's like
they just track kills.
They track kills, yeah.
Oh, that's all.
And they get funny names.
Oh, okay.
Or different names, yeah. Like my best strange. I only have 2 strange items, and I have a strange Giorotti, and then I have like 1,400 sodden victims, as it were, and then I also have a strange medigun.
Nice,
which I've uncrated. So there you go.
Alrighty, then. So, yeah.
Just a couple weeks ago, I got a Machina. That was cool.
Nice.
The newer sniper gun.
Yeah, Shane, I bought mine Shane for $2. Bought one.
I found mine randomly.
I paid a scrap for, or I paid a reclaim for mine. So.
I didn't pay anything, so I got the best deal. Yay!
Meh. I didn't pay $250.
Oh, and I'm also working on an interesting programming kind of thing, which is what my Informer article is going to be about this month. So it's it'll still be in development when the article comes out, but it will provide some insight into how things work. And I hope to at least have the back end portion working by then and be in testing phase by the time the article comes out.
Testing what? Ha 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 ha.
Ha ha. Yeah. Right. Anyways, I think that about wraps up this episode, so we're going to say goodbye, both of you.
Bye.
Adios.
Ciao. All
right. And I'd like to say to everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next week for the lead-up to RuneFest. Goodbye, everyone.